You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, folks. I don't know where to start. Lots of things are going on. I should tell you about Sugar Bear. Every year, Sugar Bear is a Keezund. Now, if you're a dog person, you know what that is, a Keezund. He's a Dutch breed who in Holland is traditionally used aboard the canal boats. They're guard dogs for the canal barges and boats, and they love water. They like snow. They're not afraid of the elements. They're beautiful dogs. If you were to compare them to any other kind of dog, I guess they would look closest to what you would call a husky. But when you see a husky and a Keezund side by side, they really don't look the same at all. I bought Sugar Bear, and I should say that those who have been listening to this broadcast since its inception in 1992 know Sugar Bear. You know Sugar Bear. You've heard him bark on the air. You've heard me talk about him. You know Sugar Bear. Sugar Bear, I purchased when Pooh was born. My oldest daughter. When she was born, I purchased Sugar Bear as a puppy. He was 1 month old. So Sugar Bear is only 1 month older than Pooh. And I did that because I wanted my daughter to grow up with a pet, an animal, something that she would be responsible for, even though at the time she was just a little tiny baby. She would learn that that was her dog, and she was responsible for that dog and to take care of that dog, and that would give her a grounding in responsibility right off the bat. And even when she was a little tiny baby just born, I would put her down there on the floor with Sugar Bear, and and they would play together and interact and all kinds of stuff, and so they grew up together. So Sugar Bear is a member of the family. Sugar Bear is a dog. Great dog. Wonderful dog. Beautiful dog. Beautiful dog. Beautiful dog. And lots of memories connected to me with Sugar Bear and my oldest daughter, Pooh. And then when Allison was born, with Allison, with Annie. Sugar Bear truly is a member of the family. Brings back floods of memories. Well, when we moved here from Camp Verde, Sugar Bear had never, ever been on a chain, ever. And for the first 3 years that we were here, Sugar Bear stayed right around the house and took care of the house, and Pooh took care of Sugar Bear, and they were constant companions. And then one day, Sugar Bear was nowhere to be found. Nowhere. Next day, because we had purchased a license for Sugar Bear, the dog catcher called us and said that Sugar Bear was in the pound. And so we went down to the pound to get Sugar Bear out, found out we had to go pay a $10 fee. In the process of paying the $10 fee, we found out that if Sugar Bear was picked up by the pound again, the fee would double. And if again after that, the fee would double again. And double 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 forever. And so we brought Sugar Bear home, and I sat down with Sugar Bear and gave him a good talking to, and I know that I was talking to a dog, and I know that that dog didn't understand a word I had to say, but I felt better having that talk because I felt that at least I had done something responsible, because I didn't want to have to chain Sugar Bear up. You know me, folks, I believe in freedom. Well, Sugar Bear hung around for a while, and then he took off again. He discovered one of our neighbors down the mountain had some chickens. Now, Sugar Bear is not a chicken killer, has never killed a chicken or any other animal or anybody's property whatsoever, ever in his whole life. But he found out that if he went down and got around chickens, they ran. And he had a great time chasing them. Now, the owner, not knowing that Sugar Bear wouldn't kill the chickens, because Sugar Bear could have caught those chickens real easy and killed them real easy. He has never killed a chicken or any other animal, never killed a duck, never killed a pig, never killed anything in his whole life. He's not a killer dog. But he sure likes to play. And he thought those chickens liked to play, too. And he would just, as long as they would run and flop their wings, he would chase them. And if he caught one, he would just stop and, you know, let it get itself together and go. He'd never, ever put his mouth on any of them. Oh, but the owner of those chickens didn't know Sugar Bear and didn't like that. So he would call the pound, and the animal control officer would come and get Sugar Bear. And so next time it was $20, and then the next time it was $40, and then $80, and then $160. And then $320, and I paid each one of those fines gladly until the $320 fine, we paid it. And then I took Sugar Bear, and I sat down with him, and I told him, with tears in my eyes, and I have tears in my eyes now just remembering it, that I was going to have to put him on the chain because we could not afford $640. Couldn't afford it. And no matter what I said to the owner of the chickens, he just wouldn't believe that Sugar Bear wasn't going to kill those chickens, even though he had never, ever killed one ever yet. He just liked to play with them. It broke my heart. And it still does. And I hated to put him on a chain. But I did. I kept him on that chain for about a year and a half, and then one day I walked out and I looked at him on the end of that chain, and I said, this is bullshit. And I took him off the chain, and I said, go ahead, Sugar Bear, have yourself a ball. Because I knew there was a time limit for the doubling, and that had passed. It's either 6 months or a year. I'm not sure which. So I let him off the chain. And sure enough, he took off down the hill, went right straight to where those chickens were, and just had him a great time until the dog catcher came and got him. The dog catcher, by that time, knew Sugar Bear. Brought him back up the hill and instead of going down to City Hall, I just paid the dog catcher the $10, took Sugar Bear over and petted him and hugged him and put him back on the chain. And he's been on that chain ever since. And I hate it. I can't stand it. But I can't give him up because he's a part of the family and I love him. If someone were to come and say they had a real nice fenced yard and Sugar Bear would be taken care of and, you know, never let out of that yard and loved and all those kinds of things, I would be tempted to let him go with them, but it would be very hard. And I think a lot of you know why there's more than that story than just what I'm telling you. Is my daughter's dog. He's a part of my heart. I love that dog. In Arizona, he's sort of out of place because Dutch barge dogs that love snow and water and rain grow this big, thick coat. They're really very little dogs, but they grow this big, thick coat, and they look like they're real big dogs, and they're beautiful. And like I said before, if you want to know, you know, about what they look like without knowing exactly what they look more like a husky than anything else. But if you were to see them beside a husky, you would know that that's two different dogs, and that Sugar Bear is a Keezen and a husky is a husky, and they're not the same dog. You would know that. And so during the winter, they grow this real thick coat of fur. And so Sugar Bear never has to come in during real cold weather or snow or rain or anything. He loves it. And when I say he loves it, I'm not saying that to rationalize leaving him out there. I'm telling you this because it's true. He loves it. What Sugar Bear does not love is summer. Summer. So every spring, late spring, because up here, all the way up to June 1st, there's always danger of a freeze. We wait till the last moment in spring, then we have Sugar Bear shaved. Just shave that thick coat completely off and, you know, dip him and comb him and love him and perfume him and all this kind of stuff. And he doesn't like it. He gets embarrassed. When he loses his real thick winter coat, that's his pride and joy. He is embarrassed. He hides. He doesn't want anyone to see him looking like that. And for a couple of weeks, he will stay as just as hidden as he possibly can get until he becomes comfortable with himself. And usually when that happens is when it gets hot and he realizes he's not roasting. Which if we hadn't done that, he would die in the Arizona heat. He would literally die unless we could put him in an air-conditioned space. And so Sugar Bear went down the mountain today to be shaved and dipped and perfumed and combed and pampered and loved and all that kind of stuff. And when he comes back, he will be even more loved and pampered. And I will talk to him during his embarrassment stage every single day to let him know that I still love him, even though he's lost his beautiful winter coat and he has shrunk probably by at least 2/3 of his normal bulk. When he comes back, he will be a little tiny dog. When he left, he was a big, beautiful dog with this great coat of hair. I love him. I love both of the dogs. They're not my dogs. I'm more they're human, to tell you the truth. Many of you have heard me talk a lot about Crusher. You haven't heard me talk a lot about Sugar Bear. Sugar Bear has been around so long. In the early days of this broadcast, when Crusher wasn't around, when you heard a dog barking, I would tell you, that's Sugar Bear. Guarding the flank. Making sure that nobody sneaks up on us. And he's still doing that. He has the right flank. Sugar Bear guards the end of the hill. Three sides, actually. And no one can move anywhere within that area without him letting us know. He's a great watchdog. He would never harm anyone. Sugar Bear is not like Crusher. Crusher will kill if he feels that I am threatened or that this property is threatened or that any of my family, who are not here anymore, were threatened. Crusher would kill anyone whom he thought was the source of that threat. Sugar Bear will just warn us. Sugar Bear will not kill or harm anyone. He won't bite anyone, but he will let us know long in advance of their even coming close that they are there. And he does not just bark to hear himself bark. He only barks when there's a reason for it. Like Crusher. And so I just thought I'd let you know about that because I'm anticipating him coming home probably at the end of this broadcast and being terribly embarrassed that he's lost his winter coat and feeling very insecure about that and not knowing if anybody loves him anymore. And I'm going to have to go get him up in my arms and hug him and kiss him and tell him that I love him and it's okay that he's lost his winter coat and take him back out and put him on the chain, which will probably make me cry because I hate to do that. Absolutely can't stand it. But there's only one other alternative, and that's to put him to sleep, and I will not do that. And he has a function down there. He guards the flank. He is useful. He is performing a useful function, and I think he knows it. He does it very well. And then for the next few days, he will stay out of sight and hide from everybody who comes around because he will not want them to see him. Naked is the way he feels. And so, life goes on this mountaintop.
question. Ask yourself those voices that whispers unto you. The sound of your heart. The tops of your syndrome.
It's all about. Don't you know? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the last bastion of freedom in the entire world. The only place that you have even the remotest chance to hear the truth and to be challenged in your own personal development, to learn to live by the truth, to accept nothing but the truth, to reject rumor and lies and suspicion and all of the other things that cause us to pit each other off against ourselves and become real people. Not stupid sheeple. This is the hour of the time. My name is William Cooper, named as the most dangerous radio host in America by William Jefferson Clinton, the President of the United States, in a White House memo which was read on the air by Rush Limbaugh. Within about 3 months of the bombing of the Alfred P. Muir Federal Building in Oklahoma City, the implication was that I was somehow responsible. Rush Limbaugh was a part of that. The truth is, I was not. No patriots were. No American militia was. The FBI made statements to that effect. And Clinton's portrayal of me as the most dangerous radio host in America is the greatest compliment that I have ever received in my entire life, because it means that the arrows that I have been shooting have struck their mark and they hurt the enemy. They have severely wounded the enemy, because the policy of the enemy is to ignore their critics. Throughout history, it's been the policy of our enemies to ignore their critics, never to give them press, never to give them recognition, never to even recognize that they exist, except when they are mortally wounded by one of us, in this instance, me. It's the only time in the history of broadcasting that any broadcaster, radio, television, has ever been singled out by a president, king, queen, emir, sultan, emperor, whatever, as having so hurt them that they had to name me, William Cooper, as the most dangerous radio host in America. And when it comes from Clinton, what he really means is in the world. I'm still thrilled by that compliment. It still sends chills up my spine. It still makes me feel like I have made a great accomplishment. And I have to tell you, folks, in order to have prompted him to make such a statement, I have made tremendous strides forward. I have injured them so terribly that they could not ignore me. And in their effort to demonize me by making that White House memo public within 3 months of the Oklahoma City bombing by their puppet, Rush Limbaugh, showed exactly how desperate that they were. Thinking that the world would turn against me, the world did not. In fact, at that particular time, and you can check with Radio Shack on this, their shelves were emptied of shortwave radios. Every person who heard that broadcast on the Rush Limbaugh show wanted to find out who is this guy Bill Cooper and what is he saying that this communist president of the United States has named him as the most dangerous radio host in history. And that was also the beginning of the downfall of Rush Limbaugh, if you will remember correctly. He's never regained his popularity since then. Nobody trusts him anymore, and for good reason. It's amazing. I am absolutely amazed.
The Union Jack, you watch him sail out of harbor and bodies come floating back. Once you shoot sail and a harbor, and the bodies come floating back. Praise you, and Jesus Christ is coming.
Remember, folks, that I told you about the backlash? Remember that I told you about the backlash? Well, the backlash is real. It's happening. It was just revealed today that Hillary Clinton has been making backside deals with Yasser Arafat of the Palestinian Liberation Front, has been collecting money from the Palestinian Liberation Front and from prominent Palestinians in secret, out of sight of the press. And here she is running for United States Senator in the state of New York, where she has to be elected by the Jewish vote. And guess what? She's not going to get that Jewish vote, ladies and gentlemen. Al Gore has now abdicated the whole front-running issue race, and he is just responding to the challenges brought up by George Bush Jr. The backlash is coming. It's here. These people are on the way out. Hillary Clinton is not going to be a senator from the state of New York. Al Gore is not going to be elected president. No matter what I said before, and if you want to hold that against me and rub it in my face or anything else, do so, please. I am so happy to report that the pendulum has swung to the other side. It does not bode well for any of us. I am not happy about what it's going to bring in our future, but I am happy that these scum-sucking, puke-faced, lying, Nazi, jack-booted Gestapo thugs that have been making our lives miserable with their lies and their deceptions are on the way out. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill.
Yes.
I don't know how long you're going to let me talk, but I'll try to make it brief. I'm not eating anything now. It's me from Youngstown, Joe.
Okay.
We had a dog. Well, he wasn't the same breed as Sugar Bear, but he was a cockapoo, and he had that big, heavy coat like that. Every time we used to get him shaved and everything like that, when it was real hot, he was so embarrassed. It's the same way.
Now, people think that dogs don't have feelings.
Oh, they do.
That they can't love. I had one dog trainer tell me that dogs don't love. They respond to instinct on the pack principle. And what they do is to establish their place in the pack. And I looked at this. I've had dogs all my life. I looked at this guy and I thought, you know, you may be a dog trainer. You may have worked with dogs all your life. But I'm sorry, bud, you don't know dogs. They do love. They do have feelings. They have emotions. They even know how to express them. And they are incredibly
smart.
Smart and responding and emotional and loving.
Yes.
In times when they were just, you know, for people who have owned dogs and seen these things happen, they know that.
Right. You still there? Oh, I got a bad connection on my phone. Are you there?
Of course I'm here.
Our family dog lived to be 17 years old, and last week I trimmed the lawn around where his resting place was, and I'm gonna get a marker made for his resting place. He was a faithful companion, And like I said, I get all choked up when I think about it, really. And I don't think I don't think God loves people if they don't love animals, really. I don't see how God can love them if they don't have any love for the other creatures, too.
Well, maybe some people have never had an opportunity to know an animal well enough to get to love them.
Well, yeah.
A lot of people have never known an animal, period, so you can't hold that against them.
Can I interject something
what
for
what you?
What
can hold against them is if they mistreat animals when it's not necessary.
No, I can't see that. I can't see cruelty to them. And I really don't think it's a cool idea to see these poor animals in a circus like that, like the elephants especially.
Well, now watch out now. You're getting in grounds that are liable to make you into a hypocrite.
Okay, I'm lying.
Have you ever been to a slaughterhouse?
Yeah.
You have? You've seen cattle murdered so that you can eat a hamburger?
Yeah.
Okay, so don't give me all this.
I butchered them too myself.
Then don't give me all this other bullshit, because that's what it is. Okay?
I won't. Let me get back to the heart of the matter, what I was going to talk about. You know what the tincture of black walnut is that people take for all kinds of different illnesses, like arthritis and you name it?
Yeah.
You do know about that, right?
Yeah.
You probably give that to Sugar Bear, too, don't you?
Sometimes.
Okay, that's a good thing, to keep him healthy.
Yep.
And there's a lot of other herbal stuff out there that is sold on your program that people can even use on their pets.
That's true.
And that's another good thing about the Mandarin Herbs Company. They can get all that good stuff from you guys.
Oh, I'm glad you brought this up, because I just found out today that everybody's order of Corey Dallin is on the way to me now. And as soon as it arrives, I have all your packages already pre-labeled and everything. Your order will go out the same day that I get it here, which will probably be sometime this week or the first of next week. And I want to tell you all that when you order things from Mandarin Herbs, it's not ever going to take this long.
Okay.
The most it will ever take is, and I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the whole listening audience.
Yep.
The most it's ever going to take is maybe from the time you place the order till the time you get it in your hands is maybe 3 weeks. So if you're ordering things that you need to take from Mandarin Herbs, make sure that you order your next supply 3 weeks early before you need to actually have it, so that you'll make sure that you have it in your hands. The reason it took so long for the Corey Dallin is the only way that we could get that low of a price was to guarantee the supplier that we would wait until all of the orders were in, and we would have a certain number of orders that we would send to them, and then they would send us the order. Because $16 is with shipping. And if you go to Mandarin Herbs and look at the headache formula, which is what Corey Dallin is,
yeah,
it's the headache formula, you'll see that it's about $24. And that's not including shipping. And what you got was $16, including shipping, which means you actually got it for around $11 for the bottle. So it was a good deal, and we did it to kick off Mandarin Herbs so that you could all get it. And, it's on the way to us. As soon as it gets here, it will go right in your package. It's already been pre-labeled for you, and will go out to you instantly. And I mean that same day, it will go out. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I had meant to say something about it last night and forgot about it, and forgot about it tonight, too. So, anything else?
Yeah, well, I belong to a grassroots, alternative health care group. It's been here in the Valley for quite a while, close to 18 or 20 years. And I don't know if I should, I don't want to mention the name of it because they probably have enough trouble with Big Brother right now. But everybody in our group is talking about your website and your herbs, and all I hear is just, you know, wonderful talk about it.
Well, it's going to get bigger. Right now we have a certain number of herbal formulas up there now. We're going to eventually have those that are spelled out as to what they're for. Then there will be another 300, and we will be putting up educational material so that you'll know how to use those. And then there will be an additional 500 single herbal extracts made available for people all over the world.
I better let somebody else get in there, Bill. They're probably waiting.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks. Good night.
And thanks for bringing that up. Mannered Herbs is something else altogether, folks. It's a landmark. Nobody has ever made available what we're making available at Mannered Herbs. I never have, and nobody else probably ever will. And if you don't take advantage of it, then, you know, well, it's your loss. 520-333-4578 is the number. I'm rejoicing a little bit because an old friend is supposed to come and visit me sometime this week. And I don't know exactly when that will occur. I'm waiting for the phone call. And so I'm looking forward to one of our oldest associates and members and researchers and contributors. It will be so nice to sit down and have a real intelligent conversation with somebody other than Doyle. And, you know, Doyle doesn't feel bad about it. Doyle knows I love him. But, you know, in this whole area, I mean, if I really want to have a serious intellectual conversation, Doyle's about it. So I'm really looking forward to this visit, and I'm really happy about it. And should occur within the next 2 or 3 days and last through Sunday morning. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Coop, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question. Okay, I know you do a lot of study on the secret societies there.
Yep.
And you know about the some group they how they use fire as, I guess, they make their own sacrifice.
Well, now let's not get. You see, if you don't really understand what you're talking about, you can make wrong assumptions.
Right.
But go ahead and ask your question.
I'm trying to understand.
Instead of arriving at conclusions, why don't you ask your question and maybe I can answer.
Okay. Now, looking at all the things that have gone on before Waco and a lot of the other things, I'm looking at back in the 70s, there was a group called MOVE.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them before?
Yeah, they were burned out, just like the Symbionese Liberation Army, and just like they tried to do with Randy Weaver until they were caught lifting the ladder, just like they did at Waco, Texas. Yeah.
Right.
They burned these people so that they can't talk,
uh-huh.
So that they won't be tried,
right.
And so that their souls are, as they put it in the mysteries, recycled. All things are renewed by fire, is what they believe.
Yeah, because you might say, you know, when you read about it in the newspaper, you don't get the whole story. But you know, when you
are you kidding me? You don't get the story about anything in the newspaper except in the classified ads.
Right.
I mean, it's not that you don't get the whole story. You don't get any of the story. What you get is what they want you to believe.
Right.
Period. That's not the story.
And you know, it was the same thing as in Waco, how they did not have no mercy on the children.
Absolutely.
Even with the move there, they didn't, you know, they didn't care about the children.
No, they never did.
Right.
Even though they used the children as an excuse. We did it for the children. Bullshit.
Right.
They're liars. They're scum-sucking, puke-faced, Nazi Gestapo, lying Nazi pigs.
Right.
And don't you ever think differently.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. Because like I say, I've been listening to you, I guess, about the last couple of years. No, I'm a black American. You know, I haven't heard too many black Americans.
Excuse me, my friend. You're not a black American. You are an American.
Right. Okay.
You're an American.
Right.
Don't divide yourself from me.
Uh-huh.
You are my brother. You are an American. I am an American. We are brothers as long as we understand that freedom is our uniting common bond. And without freedom, we cannot exist. We cannot be. We cannot think. We cannot worship. We can't go to the church we want to go to. We can't do anything. So please, forget about this black American. Forget about this Native American. Forget about this Oriental American. We're either Americans or we're not.
Right. Because,
And if you're and if you're an American, I don't care who you are, what color you are, what religion you practice, you are my brother or my sister, as long as you understand that you're an American and you understand what that means.
Right. I agree. I always ask myself the question, though, with all the division here in America, I always ask the question to American. I would say if the Russians or if the Chinese was to come over here, then, you know, that wouldn't mean a bit of good to us because, you know, they wouldn't care who you are then.
That's exactly right.
Because, you know,
that's exactly right.
One goal.
And I'm so happy that you understand that.
Right.
I am overjoyed that you understand that, because there's so many people who don't.
Right. Well, I don't want to hold you up, no. I just wanted to get that point clear there.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Yep. We're either Americans or we're not. We're either Americans or we're not. Period. Our uniting common bond is freedom. You either understand it or you don't. If you don't, you're not an American. Simple as that. 520-333-4578 is the number. You know, when I have these kinds of conversations, sometimes it just throws people for a loop. Just absolutely ends their life as they know it. Not too long ago, I joined a car club, worldwide car club, because I have a 1957 Imperial that I'm trying to restore. And so I joined this Imperial car club on the internet. It's a worldwide thing. People from Japan and Norway and England and California and Arizona and New Zealand and Russia belong to this car club. It's a worldwide thing. And one day I signed on and got my email, and some messages came across from the car club, and here was a message on this car club, one of the members writing an answer to another member, called him Kike Boy. And I hit the roof, because this was one American to another. It wasn't international or anything. Called him Kike Boy in public because he was Jewish. And in my world, that's unacceptable. It's like calling me a gut eater because I'm Indian. Native American Indian. Or calling my wife a slant-eyed slope goop because she's Chinese. See what I mean? So I hit the roof. And I very clearly took this clown to task. And found it amazing that immediately I came under very serious attack from members of the list in this country who are Southerners, who felt that it was okay for this guy to call another member of the list a kike boy because he was Jewish, because, quote, he didn't mean anything by it, end quote. Can you believe that bullshit? 520-333-4578 is the number. Somebody just called, and I had them on the phone, and I just accidentally hung up on them. I apologize for that. I did not mean to do that. I just accidentally hung up on somebody just now, and I did not mean to do that. If you want to call back, please do. It's my fault. It was not intentional, I can assure you. And I apologize for that. I apologize for hanging up on you. I did not mean to do that. So if you want to call back, go ahead. It's okay. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Are you the one that just called that I asked you to hang up on?
It's an honor to be hung up by the most dangerous man in America.
Well, I didn't mean to do that. I want you to know that. I want to apologize to you personally. I hit the wrong button, and as soon as I did it, I knew I screwed up. So, go ahead.
Just an idea I kind of had about your situation with Sugar Bear. Have you ever looked into the invisible fencing?
Yes, I have, and it won't work here, and I'll tell you why. This is a mountain of rock, and the invisible fence has to be buried about 6 inches below the surface. Ain't going to happen here. Not unless you want to pay a bunch of guys about $5,000 to dig a 6-inch trench. I don't mean a solid rock. It's just rocks. Rocks, no, rocks, big rocks everywhere. You know, you might dig six inches in this soil. You try to dig another 3 feet, and it's nothing but rocks. And so, you can't do it. You just can't do it. If I was a millionaire, I could do it. I could hire a whole bunch of guys, and they could dig the trench and bury the thing, and we could make a big rock pile from all the rocks that they dug up and all that kind of. But for somebody like me, no, I can't afford that, and it would take me 3 years to do it in a space big enough to confine these two dogs that are, Crusher's a big dog. Sugar Bear, when he's shaved, is a little dog. When he's not shaved, he's a big dog too. But it can't be done. It absolutely can't be done.
It works very, very well.
Oh, well, I looked into it. I wanted to do it, but you can't do it. It's impossible up here on this mountain to dig a 6-inch. I mean, just to have our lawn, our grass, and our gardens, it took us about eight years to haul in the topsoil and dig out the rocks and to be able to do that. And a lot of money. So, yeah, I looked into that. I would love to do that. Can't be done. Sorry. And I really am sorry. Not to you, but to the dogs. Now, Sugar Bear is an outside dog. He can't come and stay in the house because you know what happens to outside dogs when they come in the house. Crusher is a trained dog, and he can come in the house. He doesn't have to stay outside on a chain or anything else. He can, and I can take both dogs for walks, which I do. But Sugar Bear has to stay on a chain, or else I have to sell everything I own for him to be able to chase his chickens. or else I have to go to war against the city, and I really don't choose to do that. I think people should be able to, have their chickens safe if they want them safe.
Hey, one more question. When would be a good time for me to call you off the air? I'd like to get your address for FM 101.
Anytime from noon to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Don't ever call me on the weekend. Don't ever call me after 5 p.m. on any night or before 12 noon my time on any day unless it's an emergency. If it's an emergency, then please call me. If it's not, don't. And if you do and it's not an emergency, you're going to incur my wrath and you're not going to like it.
Oh, I've heard that enough. I wouldn't want that. Alrighty then. Thanks for letting me stick my 2 cents in there.
Thanks for calling.
You have a good evening.
Thank you.
Take care.
520. Oops. Whoa. My goodness. We're out of time. We are out of time, folks. I don't know where the time went. It doesn't seem to me like this has been a very long radio broadcast at all. And we're out of time. And that's weird. So, wow, I don't know where the time went. I really don't. It doesn't seem like I've been on the air for as long as the clock is indicating. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poo Nelson. I love you. Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not what I wanted to do. How did that happen? Well, it's this old CD thing. Keep screwing it. Good night, folks. Don't miss tomorrow night's episode of The Hour of the Time. If you live in the Round Valley, don't forget to tune in to Channel 15, Round Valley Television. Every night, immediately following the hour of the time, at the top of the hour, it's a special presentation that you don't want to miss.
Thank you.